Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Breaking the Cycle Free Yourself from Sex Addiction, Porn Obsession, and Shame by George Collins MA is a practical recovery guide for people dealing with sexually compulsive behavior, pornography dependence, secrecy, and the shame that often surrounds these patterns. Written from the perspective of a counselor who has also described his own history with sexual addiction, the book combines self-help instruction, therapeutic reflection, and mindfulness influence methods. Its central purpose is to help readers understand compulsive sexual behavior as more than a problem of desire or weak will. Collins frames it as a learned coping strategy connected to emotional pain, disconnection, and unresolved wounds. The book is intended for readers whose sexual behavior has damaged relationships, work, finances, or self-respect, as well as for partners who want to understand the compulsive cycle. Its emphasis is practical identifying triggers, interrupting urges, examining shame, and rebuilding a capacity for honest intimacy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, sexual compulsion is treated as a response to emotional pain rather than moral failure. One of the defining features of breaking the cycle is its effort to separate compulsive sexual behavior from simple moral judgment. Collins presents sex addiction and porn obsession as behaviors that often develop to manage distress, loneliness, anxiety, shame, or emotional disconnection. This framing matters because shame can intensify the same behavior a person is trying to stop. If the reader sees the problem only as evidence of being bad or defective, secrecy increases and secrecy protects the addiction. Collins instead asks readers to investigate what the behavior is doing for them emotionally. Porn, anonymous sex, paid sex, or fantasy may function as temporary anesthesia, giving relief from feelings that seem intolerable. The practical consequence of this view is that recovery cannot depend only on avoidance. Avoidance may be necessary, but it does not answer the deeper question of why the compulsion feels necessary. By locating the behavior within emotional history, the book gives readers a way to move from self-condemnation toward responsibility. Responsibility here means recognizing the damage caused by acting out while also addressing the internal conditions that keep the cycle alive. Secondly, the reader is encouraged to observe compulsive thoughts without identifying with them. A major psychological method in the book is the distinction between the self and the stream of compulsive thoughts. Collins emphasizes that urges, fantasies, and mental images can feel urgent and authoritative, but they do not have to define identity or dictate action. This idea resembles mindfulness-based recovery approaches the reader learns to notice the mind producing rationalizations, promises, bargaining, and escape plans. The purpose is not to eliminate every sexual thought immediately, which would be unrealistic, but to create a pause between impulse and behavior. In that pause, choice becomes possible. This is especially important because compulsive sexual behavior often operates automatically. A trigger appears, the mind supplies a justification, and the behavior follows before the person has fully reflected. Observing the thought process interrupts that automatic chain. Collins also treats the addictive mind as something that can be examined, challenged, and deprived of unquestioned authority. The method is practical because it turns recovery into a repeatable mental skill. Instead of waiting for urges to disappear, the reader practices relating to urges differently, with less panic, less obedience, and more self-awareness. Thirdly, recovery depends on tracing the original wound behind the addictive pattern. Breaking the cycle gives substantial attention to the emotional origins of compulsive behavior. Collins encourages readers to become investigators of their own histories, looking for early experiences that shaped how they handled vulnerability, affection, fear, abandonment, or shame. The book does not claim that every case has the same cause, but it repeatedly links addiction to unresolved emotional wounds. These wounds may include neglect, abuse, family secrecy, rejection, or less obvious patterns in which a child learns that authentic needs are unsafe or unwelcome. This approach is important because sexual compulsion can masquerade as a purely adult problem while being powered by much older emotional learning. A person may seek stimulation while actually trying to escape feelings of emptiness, inadequacy, or emotional exposure. Collins argues that recovery requires bringing compassionate attention to those buried experiences rather than merely suppressing behavior at the surface. This does not excuse harmful conduct, but it clarifies why willpower alone often fails. By connecting present urges with earlier pain, the reader can begin to understand the emotional logic of the addiction and develop healthier ways to respond to the underlying need. Fourthly, the book pairs insight with concrete exercises for interrupting acting out behavior, although the book includes psychological and spiritual ideas. It is not presented only as a theory of addiction. Collins offers a step-by-step recovery orientation designed to help readers regain control in daily situations. The practical emphasis includes recognizing triggers, naming urges, examining the stories the mind tells, and using exercises to slow down the movement from craving to action. The companion workbook is known for structured exercises, and the main book similarly encourages active participation rather than passive reading. This matters because compulsive sexual behavior is usually maintained through repetition. The brain and body become accustomed to a sequence: discomfort, fantasy, pursuit, release, shame, and renewed discomfort. Practical tools aim to break that sequence at multiple points. Some readers may need outside therapy, group support, or clinical treatment, but Collins focuses on helping the reader develop self-observation and self-intervention skills. The practical value of the book lies in making recovery behavioral as well as emotional. Insight into childhood pain may explain the addiction, but repeated concrete choices are needed to weaken its hold. The book, therefore, combines reflection with discipline, emphasizing that change is possible but not passive. Lastly, healthy intimacy replaces secrecy, objectification, and fantasy as the goal of recovery. Collins does not define recovery only as stopping pornography use or ending destructive sexual behavior. A broader goal is the rebuilding of authentic intimacy. In the addictive pattern, sex can become detached from mutuality and reduced to fantasy, control, novelty, or objectification. This creates isolation even when sexual activity is frequent. The book argues that compulsive behavior damages the capacity to be emotionally present with another person because secrecy and shame make openness feel dangerous. Recovery, therefore, involves learning to relate differently, not simply abstaining from a specific outlet. This includes honesty, vulnerability, respect for partners, and the ability to tolerate emotional closeness without escaping into fantasy. The emphasis on intimacy also helps distinguish the book from approaches that treat sex only as a temptation to be resisted. Collins is concerned with what replaces the compulsion once it is interrupted. If the deeper needs for connection, acceptance, and self-respect remain unmet, the old pattern may return in another form. By focusing on meaningful connection, the book presents recovery as a reorganization of relationships with the self, with desire, and with other people. In conclusion, Breaking the Cycle is best suited for readers who recognize a repeated loss of control around pornography, sexual fantasy, paid sexual services, anonymous encounters, or other behaviors that create secrecy and damage. It may also help partners and family members understand why compulsive sexual behavior can persist despite remorse and consequences. The practical benefit is that the book gives readers language for the cycle: emotional distress, compulsive thought, acting out, shame, and renewed distress. The intellectual benefit is its reframing of addiction as an interaction between emotional wounds, identity, habit, and avoidance, rather than a narrow issue of lust. Compared with many books in the porn addiction and sex addiction category, it stands out because Collins combines personal familiarity with the problem, counseling experience, mindfulness influence observation, and concrete recovery exercises. It is not a replacement for therapy, crisis support, or treatment for coexisting mental health conditions, and readers with severe compulsions may need professional help. Its value is strongest as a structured entry point into self-examination and behavior change. The book is especially distinctive in its insistence that recovery requires both interrupting urges and healing the shame-based emotional patterns that make the urges feel necessary. If you would like to support George Collins MA, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.